I will say good afternoon. So we're going to pick up today in the Dir Shu Mishnah Brura on page 12, which is the end of Simen Beis, the beginning of Simen Gimel. And I actually just wanted to go back and revisit for a few moments something that we had covered at the end of last week's, on Thursday's Shir. So remember again, the Shulchan Aruch said that a person should not lo yelech arba amos begilui harosh. This is the top of the daf. A person should not walk 4 amos with an uncovered head, and have covered ultimately again for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's just revisit some of the Mishnah Berurah on this. If you look at Sif Katan Yud Aleph in the Mishnah Berurah, so the Mishnah Berurah writes, Umidas chasidus afilu pachos me'arba amos, v'afilu be'ez hashena balayla, and it is a midah of chasidus, a midah of exceptional piety, that one should not walk even less than dalet amos with an uncovered head. Again, dalet amos is approximately 6 feet. Va'afilu be'ez hashena balayla, and even when one sleeps, one should try to keep one's head covered. V'yesh tzemet tzadetin lomar da'afilu arba amos ino osr medina rak latznur b'maseim. And there are some who want to suggest that the dalet amos is not necessarily an obligation upon all people, just upon those who are exceptionally tzenua, those who are very modest with their actions. Aval kvar kosef hataz lekaman b'simenches, de bizmanenu iser gomer medina, lihios begili harosh, v'afil yoshev b'veso v'ayin shamatan. But already the Taz writes that today this is the accepted practice amongst all Jews, that a person should not go ahead and walk around without an uncovered head, and even if one is at home, the chinkasav b'tshuvas mahari barona, the kasav amagin avram, the afilu kitanim nachun lahargilam b'kisei harosh, ki hechi de lehevi luhu emsa d'shmaya, ki de isa kasi rasheich, ki hechi de lehevi alach emsa d'shmaya. And even for children, the Magen Avraham writes, it's important to get them used to going in and covering their head. And in quotes over here, the beautiful Gemara Masechah Shabbos, and the Gemara says that a person should cover their head in order that they should only always have a reverence and a respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, the head covering reminds us that there is someone, something above us. V'da'ot, t'le'inyan gili harosh dai b'kisui hayad al harosh. And again, the Mishnah Berurah comments, and he says in terms of head covering, even covering one's head with one's hand is enough ultimately to suffice. And obviously, if one is washing their hair, literally delousing, of course, one could have one's head uncovered. And the Prima Godim writes that although we just said before that covering your head with your hand is enough of a kisui, that apparently is only if you're within your home. But if you are outside of the home, tachas avir hashamayim, then ultimately, again, that type of covering does not suffice. It is interesting to note, I think I mentioned in the shir on Thursday, that if you go ahead and you look at the Dir Shu Mishnah Berurah in footnote 20, he writes, Ulegabi hotzas askara mipiv kisharosh magula, kasav ha-shulchan orach shim echad maniach alav yisyadom nechshav kikisui. See, interestingly enough, again, if I wanted to go ahead and say Shem Hashem, or for that matter, again, recite a bracha, so the Shulchan Aruch later on writes that if someone else puts their hand on top of my head, then that suffices. But my own hand will not, for reasons that we'll discuss in just a little bit. If you take a look back and Sif Katan Yud Beis in the Mishnah Berurah, Begilui Harosh, the Chol Shekin She'asah Levarich, of course, one is not permitted to make a bracha with an uncovered head. V'hu Adin Lilmod Begilui Harosh, one is also not permitted to learn with an uncovered head. And covering one's head with one's hand does not allow for one to recite Shema Hashem or for one to learn. Because one's hand and one's body, that the hand and the head are part of the same guf. The idea is that the head covering must be something external to the body. Covering the head with this part of the same body does not count as a covering. The body literally cannot cover itself. There are those who are makel with this and allow for one to cover one's head with one's hand in difficult circumstances. Kegon balayla shirotza lishtos ve'im lekove berosho. Didai b'mashem echase rosha biyado. This is very important. So the Yesh Makilin will say, in the Yesh Makilin, the Shaar HaTzion identifies as the Eliyahu Rabba and the Marashal, who say that under extenuating circumstances, a person wakes up in the middle of the night and a person wants to go out and take a drink. Let's say one doesn't have their yarmulke by them. So in a case like that, you could put your hand on top of your head. Aval yoser tov lino kimosha olam noagin shemamshech habeis yad shalabeget ala yad umechasa borosho. Da'az havi shaper kisu eli kuli alma. But the Mishnah Berurah suggests that better than using your own hand to cover your head would be, let's say, taking your shirt sleeve, your pajama sleeve, your shirt sleeve, and extending that and covering your head with that. Because although that is a garment that you're wearing, that is something external to the body and therefore could serve as a head covering. So although, again, it sounds like b'shas hadchak in extenuating circumstances, one would be able to cover one's head with one's hand, but still the halacha seems to say that when possible, we would rather not rely on such a situation like that. So the Mishnah Berurah comments, and he goes on, and he explains, the kasa arpim agadim, the yesh li zoher b'shas hanachas tefillin shorosh, shelo yivarech habracha b'rosh megula. Another very important halacha, which is when putting on one's shel rosh, sometimes one, in order to get the shel rosh on, has to remove their yarmulke a little bit. So a person must make sure not to recite the bracha on the shel rosh with an uncovered head. Uparuk misa'aros. This is actually very interesting. If a person wears a toupee, even those who have a toupee where hair is really sewn into a piece of fabric that fits on top of the head, this is interesting. So technically speaking, if one is wearing a toupee, then one would not be obligated to wear a yarmulke because the toupee itself serves as the head covering for the individual. But because there's a marasign, people might not know that it's a toupee. Therefore, again, one has to wear a yarmulke. V'yesh makilin, but there are those who make cause the Arzos Chaim. Of course, the generally accepted minog is that even if a person is wearing a toupee, they still go ahead and they wear a yarmulke on top of that. When we get to Hilchos Tefillin, we'll see some interesting halachic considerations that come up with the toupee. So just before we go back up top, in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, footnote number 22, he raises another interesting discussion. This is in the middle of note 22. He writes, Ulevarich bebirkas shalom, la'adam shirosh shemagula, shaderech yishu meishavlo shalom. So this is an interesting question. So is one permitted to give shalom aleichem to someone who's not wearing a yarmulke, knowing full well that the person will probably say aleichem shalom? And of course, again, Shalom is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So essentially, is one permitted to say Shalom Aleichem with an uncovered head? He says, so he quotes Rav Moshe, Kasa be'igras Moshe, Sha'af sherov ha'anoshim ein kavanosim l'shmosha l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Miko mokum kevan sha'davar nogei l'kavot shemayim roi l'hachmir bazeh, milvad ba'ofen sh'yish lochush l'kpeida, ela sh'yachol lisho b'loshon manishma etzlecha, u'kiyotze bazeh sh'kach lo yakpid. So Rav Moshe says that even though when people say Shalom Aleichem, they don't really have in mind that that's the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather, as far as they're concerned, it's just their way of greeting someone. But since at the end of the day, it is greeting someone with Shem Hashem, one should not utter that greeting with an uncovered head. One should just say, what's going on? How manish matzlcha? What's happening with you? V'asteichemet heikil bazeh b'makom tzorech gadol. Steichemet was megal in a situation of great need. Umeidach dasakon Reb Shalom Zalman Arbach she'ef shala hakil baza kevan she'in mechavnin b'lashem shemayim elarak l'nimus ba'amo. But Reb Shalom Zalman apparently is mekel, he's lenient, because Reb Shalom Zalman feels that since most people today, when they say Shalom Aleichem, have absolutely no kavana for the name of Hashem, but rather again, it's just a simple greeting, therefore, halacha lemaisa, one could say Shalom Aleichem even with an uncovered head. So you have Rav Moshe saying that you can't say Shalom Aleichem with an uncovered head because it's Shem Hashem, even if people don't have kavana for that. This Teichemet who says you could do it under extreme circumstances, I guess that must refer to cases where, let's say, there's a concern you'd offend someone, possibly. And you have Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach who says that it's mutter because today people really don't have kavana at all as Shem Hashem. So back up top to the Shulchan Aruch, the Yivdok Nekavav. When a person gets up in the morning, so a person should go ahead and make sure that he doesn't have to use the restroom, or a person should try to use the restroom. Yivdok Nekavav. And if you look in Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot and Yud Gimel, Kadei Sheyihya Achar Kach Gufo Naki, in order that one should maintain a clean body, Bishas Kabolas Malchus Shamayim B'kriya Shema Utfila. So one should try to go to the bathroom in the morning in order to make sure that one has a clean body for Shman, for davening, for tefillah, for Shmona Esrei. The ein tzarach rak bedika levad. All you need to do is to check yourself once. Ve'im badach es atzmo ve'in arotza atel en akavav, ze nikra min adin gufnoki. And as long as one tries to relieve themselves, but doesn't have, even if one doesn't have to, that's called a gufnoki. Ve'chalila la'acher shuv avor ze Zman Kriyashma or Afilu Rak Tefila B'Tzibur. But one, of course, has to be careful that as a result of trying to use the restrooms and relieve oneself, that one does not delay the time of Shema or miss out on the opportunity for Tefila B'Tzibur. So in other words, one has to wake up sufficiently early to make sure that one is able to check themselves if they need to relieve themselves prior to davening. Back up top, where the Rama writes, Hagol, V'yechase kol gufo, v'lo yelech yachef. A person should be totally clothed, and a person should not walk barefoot. The yargo atz v'yargil atzmo liponos boker ve'erev shuz rizos unikios. And a person should habituate oneself to make sure to relieve oneself at least in the morning and in the evening. For this is rizos. This allows one to approach life with a greater rizos, and of course instills within one the midah of nikios, the midah of cleanliness as well. The Mishnah Berurah in Sefka in Yudal writes yachef barefoot. Amru Chachamim Zal Sheyim Kar Adam Koma Sheyeshlo V'Yikach Min Ha'Alim Laglav. So Chazal write that it is better for a person to sell everything they own in order to be able to buy shoes. In other words, from the words of Chazal, to walk around without shoes is exceptionally degrading. And also, again, other opinions also, it's also a midah of tznius. So the idea over here is that even if a person says, so actually interesting, in footnote 27 of the Ishna Mishnah Berurah, he quotes over here a number of different opinions. He says, So again, so the Shulchan Aruch later on explains that it's really tznius, it's modesty to walk around with shoes. The Marsha says we're concerned the person's going to get sick. And Rashi says it's just degrading to walk around with bare feet. Either way, the wearing of shoes is something that's something exceptionally important. And again, the Chazal literally say, even if a person has to sell everything in order to be able to wear their shoes, that's what they should do. And in the Western countries, where often they walk around barefoot, shari, this is permitted. Because obviously, in such a situation like that, it's not a violation of tznius, and it's not a bizui, it's not considered to be a degradation if that's the norm. Od kasa b'shem shla, dim ose mishum tshuva, So interesting enough, the Shalom writes that if a person is walking barefoot as part of their tshuva, part of their penitence, then a person is permitted to do this, because you see that David HaMelech did this as well as part of his tshuva process. Now we begin Simen Gimel, Hanhagas Beis Akise, how to conduct oneself with in the bathroom, writes the Shulchan Aruch Sif Aleph. Kishi kanes lebeis akise, when a person walks into the bathroom, yomar, he should say his kabdu mechubadim. Literally, honored guests or honored one remain honored. Now, what he's quoting over here is the Gemara quotes the idea that malachi ashares escort a person wherever he goes, and before a person goes in and goes into the bathroom, a person should essentially tell the malachi ashares, you guys, you malachi ashares, you stay here, do not accompany me into the bathroom. Iskabdu mechubadim, literally, retain your honor, you honored ones. V'achshav lo nagu la'amra. But writes the Shulchan Aruch, today, we do not recite this phrase prior to going into the bathroom. Writes the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Aleph. V'achshav, why? Why don't we say this today? Ki ein anu muchzakin liyirei shamayim, shamalachim alavin osanu. So Mishnah Berurah says, because today we don't have that level of yirei shamayim as described in the Gemara. Meaning to have malachi asharis accompany you wherever you go, you need yirei shamayim. That level of yirei shamayim, perhaps, is not found really amongst us today. So we'd assume that the Malachi Asharis don't really escort us wherever we go. Therefore, there is no need to tell them to wait outside of the bathroom as we enter. It's interesting, in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, in the note there, in note 1, so he writes over here, Ubalel Shabbos, kishayotse mi beis hakneses lebeiso, kasav lekaman, sheshnei malochim melavim oso. Yet it's interesting, we'll see later on in the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gemara, that when we walk into our homes on Shabbos night, there are two malochi asharis that escort us. So you see from here that malochi asharis do escort us. So he quotes the Ben Ishchai, who says very beautifully, that these malochim who come to us, who come with us home from shul on Shabbos, they're coming boim lichvod mitzvas kiddish, they are coming to be present when we make Kiddush, but for the mitzvah of Kiddush, but they're not coming out of kavod for the individual. Therefore, even today, where perhaps we lack the requisite Yirah Shamayim to merit an angelic escort, they still come on Friday night out covered Kiddush. His Masha'in came Malachim Habayim L'Kavod Shabbos. He quotes something very interesting over here, that says that the Chassam Sofer Lo nahag lomar belel Shabbos es piut shalom aleichem malachi asharis mishum shekeyom im malachim lavenosanu. The Chassam Sofer did not say shalom aleichem because the Chassam Sofer felt that no, those malachim that the Gemara talks about that escort us home from shul on Shabbos, those are malachim that are escorting us because of our yirah shamayim, and because today we do not have the requisite yirah shamayim, therefore again those malachim don't come with us, not just on a daily basis but even Friday night, and therefore the Chassam Sofer did not recite shalom aleichem. However, it's interesting. Amnam hevi sham b'milum b'shem maram shik shechassam sofer nahag la'omro beino lebein atzmo v'rak machmas anava la'omro b'kol. So there seems to be some dispute as to why the Chassam Sofer did not say shalom aleichem. So some say the Chassam Sofer didn't say it because literally he felt that today we lack the necessary yira shamayim to merit an angelic escort. But the maram shik apparently felt that no, he has testimony, I guess, that the Chassam Sofer did say it. He said it quietly to himself. But als anava, als his own humility, he did not want to say it out loud because saying it out loud would make it sound like he felt that he was worthy to have the angelic escort, when in fact, again, he did not feel it. So he said it on an undertone, so machlokis as to what exactly the Chassam Sofer did. But leaving aside the Chassam Sofer, the Ben Ishchai tells us that although we do not recite this, hiskabdu michubadim, before we enter into the bathroom, because we don't have angelic escort on a day-to-day basis, on Shabbos, because of the mitzvah of Kiddush, because of the sanctity of Shabbos, we have that angelic escort, not for us, but much more for the mitzvos hayom. So if we go back up top, Sif Beis, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Yehet sanua beveis akize, a person should be very modest in the bathroom, velo yigala atzma ad shiyishiv, and he should not uncover himself until he sits down. Hago, in the Ramah comments, he says, velo yelchu shnei ada anashim biyachad, two people should not go into the bathroom at the same time. And again, this obviously was referring obviously not to bathroom facilities like we have, like an outhouse. So again, two people shouldn't go in there at the same time. And again, that was tznius. Gam lo yidaber sham. Rather, again, people also should not, we'll continue with that tomorrow more, but there also should not be any conversation in the bathroom. So if you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat and Beis, Achi Yeshev, V'hu Adin Shlo Yakom Kishumagula. So the same way that a person should not uncover himself until he sits down, so too a person should not stand up in a state of being uncovered either. Sifkat and Gimel, V'lo Yelchu, two people shouldn't go into the bathroom at the same time, V'mefachir, but if a person is scared, now again, the scared piece over here is Adin and Shadim. The Gemara discusses that the Shadim often used to hang around in the outhouses because outhouses were in desolate areas and shadim were always known to frequent desolate areas. So if a person is scared, he could have his friend place his hand on top of his head while he's taking care of his needs through a window. So that the idea is if a person is relieving themselves and their friend is standing outside, but the friend puts his hand through the window and puts it on the head of the friend who is taking care of his needs, that way the person, so to speak, is not alone. But at the same time, the standards of tznius are still intact. As long as the friend outside does not see the friend inside uncovered, but again, to walk into the bathroom and literally to relieve oneself in the presence of someone else, even with one's wife, is asur. However, with a katan, with a child who does not have das, who is so young, their child like that does not have das, then ultimately one is permitted to do so. And in the footnotes, in addition to Mishnah Berurah, in footnote 2, he says, "Vahageder shal katan she'in lo das." What does it mean, a katan that doesn't have das? Kos of Sham quotes the Eretz Yehuda, "Shu katan she'inu yodeya ledaber." A child that is so young who does not know how to speak. So also we'll stop over here for today, and Amir Tashem will pick up at the top of this Amud tomorrow. Wishing you all a wonderful day.